There is nothing more precious than the Word of God. In Psalm 19, David says that the Word is to be desired more than the finest gold. In Psalm 12, verse 6, he goes further and says the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver purified in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The Bible is precious and pure, and running through the Bible like a golden thread is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We're glad you tuned in this afternoon as we savor the riches of God's holy, inspired, and infallible Word. It's our hope that this brief time of teaching and reflection will give you a richer, deeper knowledge of that Word and the God who gave it. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Bradenhoff.
Well, good Wednesday afternoon to you. Welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. I'm glad that you've joined me once again. This week on Gospel Talk, we're looking at the first chapter of Daniel. And yesterday we began looking at the fact that Daniel and his three friends had a name change. Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, their names were changed by the Babylonians to Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we noted that throughout the rest of that first chapter of Daniel, Daniel continues to refer to himself and his friends by their original Hebrew names. So Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Why did they do that? Well, they wanted to preserve their identity. Remember that the Babylonians were trying to assimilate, they were trying to acculturate these Jewish exiles to help them to get rid of their Jewish identity, take on new Babylonian identities. But these Jewish exiles, these four young men, wanted to preserve their identity as God's children, as those who bear God's name, as those who believe in God and in his promises. And so for them, it was a matter of conviction to continue to be called by the name of God, to find their identity in him as they were living in exile. And that conviction is something that is worked in people through the Holy Spirit. That conviction is a gift of God. And friends, as I mentioned yesterday, our situation is much the same. The situation is the same for those of us who are resting and trusting and believing in Jesus Christ, because we are pilgrims. We are exiles. We are not in the promised land, the new Jerusalem, which will be our home, the new heavens and new earth. All that is still coming. And while we're here on this earth, this place that is not our real home, here too, we need to remember our identity. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ should be baptized. Some of us were baptized as when we were children because we were children of believing parents. Others of us were baptized when we were older as we professed faith in Jesus Christ. No matter what, in our baptism, God has placed his name on us, and he has called us his own. And that, too, is a beautiful gift from heaven. And as we look to Christ in faith, we are united to him. We are in Christ. And that has to be one of our most basic convictions as we live as pilgrims, aliens, exiles in this world. Our identity is bound up together with Christ. He lives in us through his Holy Spirit. And as Christ does that, he also produces other convictions in us as well. For instance, Peter, the Apostle Peter, he writes quite a bit about this idea of being aliens and exiles. And he speaks about recognizing that status and what that means concretely for how we live as Christians in this world. He says that we are to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against our souls. That's at the end of 1 Peter 2. He also says we're to live good lives among the pagans so that they will see our good deeds and give glory to God when Christ returns. Well, these four young men here in the first chapter of Daniel, they certainly endeavored to live like that. They were striving to live out of love for God, out of thankfulness for his grace towards them. Being a royal courtier in training meant eating the king's food and drinking the king's wine. And when Daniel became aware of this, he knew that this just was impossible for him and his three friends. And we read about that in Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 to 16. I'll read those verses with you right now before we take a closer look at them. It says there, Daniel 1, verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested to the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of the delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. When Daniel became aware of the requirement for him and his friends to eat the king's food, drink the king's wine, he knew that that just wasn't possible for him and his three friends. And so Daniel put it on his heart that he would not defile himself with that royal food and drink. Now remember why he was in Babylon. Why was Daniel and his three friends, why were they there? Well, it was because his people, the Jewish people, had defiled the promised land with their idolatry, with their pride, disobedience, rebellion, and so forth. And Daniel and his friends were all boys when that was going on. But now, as they're on the verge of manhood in Babylon, they show that some among God's people still believed that holiness was something to strive for. And to the first people, the first believers, the first readers of Daniel's prophecy, that would have been sending a message. Look at these young men. With faith in God, they stood up. Their faith bore the fruit of conviction and bore fruit in a desire to please God and to obey him. If young men who probably don't even shave do this, you should too. What exactly was the problem that Daniel and his friends had with the food and drink of the king? Well, we're not exactly told there in Daniel chapter 1. And to be quite honest with you, it's difficult to say for sure. There are a number of different ideas that are floating about. You know, for instance, was the food unclean according to the dietary laws in Leviticus? Did the king enjoy eating roast pork every day? Well, possibly. But then why would they have a problem with the king's wine? It was permissible for the Jews to drink wine. Well, then another theory is maybe was it because the food and drink had been offered up to idols, and Daniel and his friends didn't want to participate in eating food that had been offered to idols. That's possible too. But again, we can't say for sure because the text doesn't tell us. And we also don't have any other source to fill us in. And as far as the idols are concerned, you know, vegetables or grain offerings, those things were also made to pagan idols. So that also draws that theory into question. I think all we can say is that Daniel and his friends had the conviction that eating the king's food and drinking the king's wine would somehow defile them and make them unclean. And that wasn't an option for them. Even if because of the distance of time and the distance of culture, we can't exactly put our finger on it what the reason was. Somehow, this was contrary to God's will. They had that conviction. And they were going to stand up for that conviction. And remember, these were just young men. Probably 14, 15 years old. They were convinced that their identity as God's children required them to take a stand in the midst of their pagan culture in which they were living. And others among the Jews in Babylon, well, they weren't quite so principled. And you can be sure that there was a lot of compromise. And more often than not, if we're honest with ourselves, that's also our story. We regularly compromise and we accommodate the unbelieving world around us. Friends, that's why we need to continually look to Christ. We need him. And we need his perfect sacrifice to cover for the forgiveness of all our compromises and accommodations. We need Christ to give us his perfect obedience, his perfect walk of life, which never involved any compromise with unbelief. You know, as you look to him in faith, as you rest and trust in him, you're right and you are perfect before the Father in heaven. And then faith in him also unites us to him. And then his heart of whole-minded devotion to God increasingly becomes ours. You see, friends, faith in Christ leads to love for God and obedience to God. Faith in Christ leads to putting to death compromise and accommodation more and more in our lives. And that has to be true of all of us, no matter how old we are. But note in our text that it was these young men there in Daniel chapter 1 who led the way. And in that way, there's a challenge here for young men as well. I don't know how many young men are listening to this program, but this text, I think, is especially directed to them, to young men in their teenage years. They need to be told also to look to Christ in faith, to believe in him and rest in him, to love him, to listen to his word, to open their eyes, to be aware of the ways in which the world tries to draw them in and to make them one of their own. You know how the world does that? Well, there are a number of ways. One is to deaden you spiritually with addictions to things like pornography or alcohol or drugs. To distract you with the promise of happiness through wealth, through big money. Or to divert you with the obsession for the passing pleasures of this world in things like music and movies and games and other forms of entertainment. We should all beware of the deceitfulness of sin, the lies of the world. Always keep in mind that as we look to Christ in faith, we are exiles, we're pilgrims, we don't belong here. We're different because we're in Christ. And so Daniel brought his request to the chief eunuch. You notice that he makes a request. And in doing this, he has respect for the authority that God has set over him. He has been taught the fifth commandment to honor your father and mother, which in turn also means honoring all those whom God has set in authority over us. Daniel respects the law of God. And then verse 9 tells us that God worked in this chief eunuch so that he had favor and sympathy for Daniel. He had compassion on him. And we're going to look at how that unfolds more tomorrow, because today we've run out of time. So tomorrow we're going to continue looking at Daniel chapter 1. Hope you'll join me for that. Same time, same place. Till tomorrow, may God continue to bless you richly in every way.
This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. Our goal here at Gospel Talk is to faithfully preach the gospel in season and out of season. That's also the goal of the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church. This program comes to you today through their generous support. You can find the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church at 17473 60th Ave in Cloverdale. That's just off 176th Street. Sunday worship times are 9:30 a.m. and 2 p.m. Guests are always welcome. You can find more information about the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.cloverdale.canrc.org. That website again, www.cloverdale.canrc.org. You can also write us for more information, or if you have any questions about anything you've heard today, email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Once more, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Thank you for listening today. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff.